Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Together, we welcome you to the show. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Kind of a weird time, Tom. I'm a year older in New Zealand and Australia. I have a friend down in Australia said, let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday. I'm going, what? My birthday's tomorrow. Well, no, it's December 16th.
So tomorrow is today in
yes,
New Zealand?
Exactly. It's over the date line. So, hey, I'm still a year younger for a few more hours anyway. Hard freeze again last night, Tom. Bird bass, this time all of the bird bass were frozen up at our place. What was the official low? 26, 28, something like
that?
I
don't have that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was cold.
But we've got some areas of frost coming our way the next two or three nights.
Okay, it's so just, I should keep the covers, everything covered for
definitely.
A few more nights. The show will finish out 12 full years at the end of this year and start the lucky 13 year for Buckmaster in January. The Buckmaster Show broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI. Pretty easy. That's like K-Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, the live line when we do our telephone interviews. And today we'll be doing a couple of them presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our monthly visit with Pima County Supervisor Democrat representing the District Number 1 supervisorial seat, Supervisor Rex Scott. Supervisor, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing really well, and since we're not likely to talk tomorrow, let me wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Supervisor. Are you at the supervisors where all the county supervisors in the state get together? Is that conference going on this week?
I am indeed. We are attending today the board of directors meeting, the monthly board of directors meeting of the Arizona County Supervisors Association.
Any major topic emerging here as we transition into a new year?
No, we were talking about likely appointments to be made by Governor-elect Hobbs for key positions within her administration, and we were also discussing the people who are going to be in key leadership positions within the Arizona House and Arizona Senate. There's a significantly large number of new members in both the House and the Senate, and we were talking about the impact that will have on leadership positions within the two-party caucuses and also within the key committees, and the impact that may have on county priorities. We do have a legislative agenda that we'll be seeking to advance on behalf of all 15 counties, so we've mostly been talking about the changes we're going to see in state leadership and the impact that those will have on counties.
Coming up at approximately 12:30 today, we'll have a deep dive into this American battery factory announcement that was made last week. The Pima County Board of Supervisors, you and your colleagues, signed off on this agreement on Tuesday of last week. Coming up at 12:30, Paul Charles, one of the co-founders of this organization. Do you like what you have heard so far?
Very much so. And the entire board felt very positive about the addition of the battery factory to our local economy. And Mr. Charles was a guest at our meeting. The impact on the local economy in terms of the number of high-paying jobs with an average salary of $65,000 a year and the possibility of ancillary industries that are going to be prompted by this factory coming into our local economy are all very exciting. And it also speaks to the wisdom of a previous board in bringing the aerospace research complex into the county. That's where the factory is going to be located. So, yeah, we're very excited and very pleased with the with the terms of the agreement that were negotiated with Mr. Charles and his company by county administration, working in partnership with the county attorney's office.
We'll hear more from Mr. Charles again at about 12:35 this afternoon. Now, what's the latest? Sheriff Nanos is very concerned about the condition of the Pima County Jail. We had Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines on the program on Monday for a brief interview, and he said that this is not an especially old facility. And he was, from what I gathered anyway from our conversation, not all that excited about building a new Pima County Jail. What's your take on what you're hearing, Supervisor Scott?
Well, we had two requests from Sheriff Nanos at our last meeting. He came to the meeting along with his lead deputy. And the first request was for us to consider a salary increase for corrections personnel at the jail to help fill some of the vacancies that they have there. And we're going to be taking up that request at our meeting on Tuesday. We also asked Ms. Lesher to provide us with some additional information about the condition of the jail and also some options for the board to consider in terms of either improvements to the existing facility or consideration for a new facility. I don't think any of us are in a place right now, absent that additional information from administration, to say that we are in support of a new facility, but we are looking forward to getting that information about the condition of the current facility and the options that we have moving forward.
The sheriff said that the facility is really in its current condition. He called it, he said, it's just unlivable for the inmates. He called it a disgusting place to work. It's a horrific work environment. And I remember we had the sheriff on earlier this fall, Supervisor Scott, and he said that very day that we had him on, there were plaster was falling from the ceiling, and it were really, I'm not sure when this facility was built. Do you have any idea?
It's right around 40 years old.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I would think the building, I don't know, maybe it could take a real, you know, fix up rather than tearing it down and building a new one, but I guess you will determine that. He also had suggested a half-cent sales tax. What's your take on that?
I think the bottom line, Bill, is the board needs a lot more information about the condition of the current facility. We need some structural analyses so that we can determine if the current facility is able to be refurbished and meet the standards that we have for it, or if a new facility is warranted. We don't have all of the information that we need to make those determinations.
Let's talk a little bit about the constables situation. The Pima County constables will be getting some body-worn cameras. What's the latest take on that?
So at our last meeting, Bill, one of the things that we did was that we extended the application period to fill the vacancy in Constable Precinct 1 because we did not have any qualified applicants for that position to consider for that appointment at our last meeting. There were people who applied, but they were not residents of the precinct. So we're going to move forward with that process and hopefully have some qualified applicants. We did approve the body cameras, as you're referring to. What we did not approve, and I was in the minority on this vote, was the position of deputy constable. And these would have been AZ Post certified law enforcement personnel who the elected constables, who are not required to be AZ Post certified, could have called on to help them in any kind of situation where they felt there was a need for backup or support. What we heard from the lead constable and one of his colleagues is that when they need that kind of law enforcement support, they can call on a deputy or they can call on an officer from one of the municipal police departments, but often they have to wait for that backup. So I felt that there was a compelling safety-based reason to authorize these two positions and have them be under the authority of the lead constable to be assigned as needed. But that was not the view of the majority of the board. One of my colleagues did say that she might be willing to revisit that decision in the future once we are up to a full complement of constables. But that's where things stand right now.
It's so dangerous knocking on the door, delivering papers. It's a job that it really takes a special individual to step up and say that they, a man or a woman that's willing to, in effect, Supervisor Scott, put their life on the line every time they knock on a door. It's not work I would want to do. It's very difficult work.
It is, and obviously the tragedy with the loss of Constable Martinez Garibay and two citizens is something that really brings to mind just how hazardous duty being a constable is.
What about your Christmas? Are you getting ready for Christmas, and what are you going to do something special for your meal?
Well, I don't know that we have Christmas dinner planned out just yet, but I imagine that there is a District 1-based business that you're about to talk about that could help us with that task.
That is very true, and I'm going to be talking about Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle. Kringle? Hey, what could be more Christmassy? Kris Kringle? Well, anyway, how about a Kringle on Christmas morning? How about a Kringle on Christmas Eve? How about a Kringle tomorrow, Tom Fairbanks, for my birthday? That will be happening, Tom. There will be a Kringle here, and Tom is applauding the decision. Steve and the team will be whipping up a Kringle. Not sure yet what the filling will be. Pretty much anything will be okay with me, whether it's almond, peach, cherry, any of them sound really good right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, their website, monasdanishbakery.com, open 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. They open on Sunday at 7 a.m. They're open right now for brunch. Lunch! They do a great lunch up there. Or brunch, I guess. You could have your combination of breakfast and a little bit of lunch at Mona's. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. More with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things and their sister business, Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has some really neat items for Christmas. Talavera lamps. That was featured on their website today on Facebook. Beautiful Talavera pottery made in a lamp. So looks really cool. Plus, they've got the punched tin Christmas trees, a few of those left, and they have a lot of poinsettias still available over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. They're in their 52nd year of business, soon to be 53rd after the turn of the calendar. And their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. If you've got some time off over the holidays, may I suggest a road trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? It's only about a three-hour drive. Something different. Beautiful. I think it's great hiking weather. You know, daytime highs in the 50s over there shouldn't be too bad. Yeah, it's kind of chilly at night, but it's chilly here too. But it gives you a different kind of take on the Southwest. Southwest New Mexico is their website.org to start your planning for Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A couple of housekeeping items before we get back to Supervisor Rex Scott. Yesterday we had Jethro the dog with me in studio. Monica Dangler brought the dog over with her, and I fell in love with this animal who has been at Pima Animal Care Center now for 3 months. The dog just settled in so well while I was broadcasting. I was just very tempted to make this the Buckmaster Show dog. Gave it a lot of thought, but I just can't let this happen right now with Prissy the Glamour Cat at home with the dog. But the dog is still available. We've had over 100 people taking a look at our Facebook page that pictures Jethro the dog. So, man, if you're looking for a great pet for this holiday season and beyond, consider Jethro. He's a really gentle animal, about 3 years old, been at the Pima Animal Care for 3 months now. Also, tomorrow, the police chief will be here We'll be talking with Chad Kasmer about a variety of topics. Tim Steller from The Star will join me in the questioning of the chief. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And one of the difficult issues right now, of course, Supervisor Scott, is our homeless population. I'm sure that the chief will have something to say about it. It's a real stickler of an issue that's not going to go away and will be at the forefront in 2023.
That's absolutely correct, Bill. This is a multifaceted problem, and there is not going to be any kind of one-size-fits-all solution to dealing with these problems. My colleagues and I have recently passed four measures dealing with homelessness and crime, and we are waiting on some follow-up from county administration with regard to the direction that we gave them related to the expansion of pretrial and probation services, and also making use of the Mission Annex on the Sheriff's Department property for the use of that expansion. We also wanted some additional information on wraparound services that are being provided, not just to people who may be involved with the legal system, but to all members of the unhoused community to help get to the root causes of their homelessness. And we also authorized the administration to look into making use of unexpended American Rescue Plan Act funds. Those are pandemic relief funds that all local jurisdictions receive from the federal government to help pay for some of these measures. And we also asked for an estimate of the additional needs for emergency and temporary housing within our community.
So homelessness is going to be a huge issue in 2023. What else is on? What are you putting? RTA, I'm sure, is there. What else is on your list?
We're going to be getting, I appreciate you mentioning the RTA Next plan, because we are going to be getting a draft of the RTA Next plan from the Citizens Advisory Committee around the midpoint of 2023, and then it'll be the responsibility of the RTA board to vet that plan and make any changes to it before we send it out for public review and public input, with the hope of getting it on the ballot in 2024.
How about the situation? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, you weren't finished.
No, it's okay. No. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the financial picture. I know the county operates on a fiscal year, which means you've got 6 months approximately more in the year. But most of us that don't operate that way, we think about budgetary items as we close out the calendar year. So at the midway point of fiscal year 2022-23, how is Pima County doing fiscally?
I think we're in good financial shape. You know, we've been able to reduce the overall property tax rate for the last several years while still meeting all of the needs and concerns that county residents have with regard to the services and supports that the county provides to it. And Ms. Lesher is engaging the board in discussions about the budget and the property tax rates very early in this fiscal year, in preparation for what we're going to be considering in the next fiscal year. And I think it's important for the board to have ongoing discussion about the budget. The most significant task that we engage in is putting together the budgets for all the county departments, including the departments that are run by independently elected officials like the Sheriff's Department. So I think it's a good thing that we're having those discussions throughout the year rather than just during the spring.
Would you like to say something quickly about constituent services for District 1, which happens to be the district that I reside in?
I absolutely would, Bill. Thank you very much. Anybody who has any kind of concern where county government can be of assistance can call our office at 724-2738. I have three outstanding staff members who work with me, and we get phone calls, emails, visits to the office every day from District 1 residents who need assistance and support with some kind of problem or concern. Our job is to connect them with the county department that can best be of service and support to them. And that really is the nature of representative democracy. If you had an issue with the state government, you'd call your state legislator. If you had an issue with the federal government, you'd call your member of Congress. If you have an issue where county government can be of assistance or support, call your supervisor. We are here to help you out.
All right. We will look forward to 2023 with our visits with you, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Until then, on behalf of everybody here at the Buckmaster Show, hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season.
Bill, the same to you, and I hope nobody scrimps on gift-giving to you just because your birthday is 9 days before Christmas. That's probably something you've always had to put up with, and it's just not fair.
Yeah, it is. One, they'd always say, Bill, you can open, or Billy, one gift. Wait, the rest for Christmas. Thanks, Rex. All right.
All right. My pleasure. You take care, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And we welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Paul Charles. Paul is the president, CEO, and co-founder of American Battery Factory, a Utah-based lithium battery startup that announced plans last week to build a $1 billion, that's with a B, billion-dollar gigafactory complex south of the Tucson International Airport. Paul, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to take a deep dive here in the next couple of segments into American Battery Factory and your plans for Tucson. But how did American Battery Factory get started, Paul Charles?
Great question. We're really a spin out of a company up here in Utah that's called Alliant Energy. It's a company that's been around for about a decade, and they've really focused on energy storage. You've probably seen their products in Costco. They have everything from RV batteries to portable solar generators to energy storage that goes into your home or can be used in a commercial environment for energy shaving, or very large shipping containers full of batteries for the grid level on that. And a few years ago, it became very clear to them that they wanted to onshore their manufacturing. They design and test everything here in Utah, but like the rest of the world that deals with batteries, everything's made in China. And so they realized it was very important to start that process. And one of the key things that they needed to have was a battery cell. And I was introduced to them, and I heard their vision and their idea of being able to actually manufacture these cells in the States. And they asked me, is this possible? And so I went away and did some due diligence and came back and put a proposal together. And that's really how it started literally about 2 years ago now. And we are a separate company from Alliant Energy. It's the original founders of Alliant Energy and myself that have co-founded American Battery Factory. And we're kind of like Switzerland in that we work with all different types of off-takers or users of our products. We just make a safe battery cell that then we provide into the market, and companies like Alliant Energy and other companies take those and make end products out of those.
I don't know anything, Paul, about really the battery industry. Are most of these products made offshore, Paul Charles?
Yes. In fact, China has done a remarkable job in scaling U.S. technology. The technology for lithium batteries was actually originated here in the States in Texas. There was a Japanese inventor that was part of that from Asahi Kasei. But this is technology that was not invented in China. It was then offered up to China, and China took the technology and has really been able to scale this over the last 15 to 20 years. And presently, it's over 70% of all lithium batteries are made in China. They have a supply chain that's there. They have over 100 gigafactories and another 100 planned on that. They certainly are the leaders from a global perspective. We think it's a very important aspect of the overall supply chain that America be able to have their own manufacturing supply chain. This is really a national security issue. And from our perspective, really the focus and the goal of American Battery Factory is to enable energy independence for America. And that's at a personal level, a business level, a grid level, as well as government level as well, too.
I mentioned Gigafactory in my intro to you, Paul, and you mentioned it again just in these your recent comments. What is a Gigafactory?
Yeah, it's a term that Tesla actually coined. And interesting enough, they did not trademark it. And so we, you know, the industry is tending to use that. As an interesting side note, Tesla did trademark Giga Beer. And so, anyway, just an interesting area in terms of where they put their focus. But what a gigafactory is, it's really a way to quantify the amount of energy that's created. It can either be in a energy plant, or more specifically, what we're talking about here is battery factories. So to put things in context with that, it's a billion watts of energy that's being created on an annualized basis. And to kind of bring it home on this, this would be enough power to power about 90,000 homes.
Wow. Okay, now let's get to Tucson, Paul. How did Tucson pop up on the American Battery Factory radar?
Well, this has really been an interesting journey. The company's about 2 years old, and about a year ago is when we really started looking across the U.S. to find a home for us. And we had a fairly extensive criteria of which we then would score each of these potential states and sites. And we got it narrowed down to about a dozen states. And then from a dozen, it went down to two states. And ultimately, we realized that the proposal that Arizona had given us, and they were actually one of the very first to provide a proposal to us almost a year ago, that was the standard by which we were really comparing all other proposals from other states too. They really got their act together. They know what they're doing, and they've been able to create this incredible ecosystem at the state level. So once we understood that Arizona is really where we felt like we should be, we then started looking at sites all over the state. And Tucson was one of the first that we went to as well. And it was really just an amazing experience to go there. It has a look and feel, shall we say, of a smaller town, and a, certainly a mentality like that. However, it's a large area. It's over a million people. And to be able to sit down with the mayor, along with so many other key people in this area here, and really understand what their vision was, be forward-thinking. The fact that they understood that, a dozen years ago, that they wanted to have a company like American Battery Factory come to their area was very fortuitous for us, to say the least. We will be positioned just next to the airport in the Raytheon Aerospace Park. It's a 267-acre facility, and it's taken some time to actually put all the parts and pieces together with that. But most of the utilities that we need are stubbed right there. So it's unlike other areas that we saw around the nation in which there was a lot of site work that needed to be done with this. The other thing I really want to emphasize is just the cooperative nature and the proactive nature at the state level, the county level, the city level, and then what the educational institutions in the area were really offering up. It was pretty remarkable. Pima Community College has these centers of excellence that deal with aviation along with EVs, and they're soon to be completed in the next few months. Here will be advanced manufacturing, 100,000 square foot facility, which is exactly perfect for what we want to be able to do, and that we need a location to have the people that will be working, the vast majority of the people that will be working at our facility need to be trained on how to run robots and automated equipment like that. And so it just really, all the parts and pieces came together like that. And ultimately it was the people that this is a place that we want to be. I plan to move down there and to reside there. And we really believe this will be a generational opportunity.
The Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott was our guest prior to you today on the show, and he spoke very highly of your presentation before the board last week, and ultimately it was a 5-0 vote in favor of this lease purchase deal. Could you briefly explain the lease purchase deal, please?
Sure. And by the way, they had great questions there, and I really appreciated the opportunity to just have an open dialogue there. Not a lot of folks understand what it means to set up a gigafactory, and the unique perspective that we have is to have a clean and green manufacturing environment in which this is an area where I'm going to spend a lot of time. I want my kids working here as well, too. it was It was a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that. So in terms of the lease purchase agreement, we will have multiple phases in this. In each phase, there's certain things that we have to do in terms of hiring and spending certain amounts of capital in the area. And I appreciate that because it's the proper thing to do from my perspective. Their fiduciary responsibility is to make sure that the land is used properly and that the companies that they interact with also deliver on what we promise that we're going to do on that. So as we move through each of these phases, we'll have more of the land that will be open to us, and we will be able to purchase all the land. If we don't do what we say we're going to do, then they have the opportunity to claw back. But what we wanted to do is to create a campus environment and really have a home for our headquarters, a fairly significant research and development center, something we call a foundry, which is truly unique. There's no other place in America that'll have a foundry. And what we mean by a foundry is it's very large equipment that's typically used in the gigafactory to produce millions of batteries at a time. And the focus of the foundry is to take technologies that have been developed in the U.S., either with public monies or private monies, and to be able to figure out how to scale it from working really well in a laboratory where you may be making a handful of product on a daily basis to be able to scale it up to very large quantity. Just there's no direct correlation, shall we say. Just because it works well in a lab doesn't necessarily mean you can scale it. And this foundry will allow us to do that, because there's wonderful technologies that have been sitting here for many years, actually. And the only place to do what I've just described really is in China. And if it's publicly funded, that's just not an option. If it's privately funded, there may be some concerns about doing that. And then the last portion of the site will be these modules or pods that will be producing the actual cells. And this will produce between 3 and 5 gigawatts on an annualized basis, millions of cells a year. So that's first phase. And once we accomplish that, then we'll move on to the second and the third phase, where we'll add additional pods. We're going to start with what we call 3 gigawatts of initial production. And then from there, we'll grow to 16 gigawatts. So not a massive facility, but still these are fairly large, to say the least. The other acreage on that will be a perfect opportunity for companies to co-locate with us. We just make the safe, clean, and green cells that, by the way, they don't have cobalt and they don't have nickel. We can talk about that in a moment as well, too. But we wanted to create an environment in which other companies can come, set up their facilities there, take our cells, and make wonderful end products that literally you can, you know, buy online or at your local store, or, you know, if it's for government applications, they'll be able to have one ecosystem. They can come and actually see everything.
All right. Paul Charles is with us, American Battery Factory, coming to Tucson. We're going to take a break right here, Paul. When we come back, we will talk about the water that you're going to be using, what you call a closed loop system, recycling. All of that's coming up in our conversation with Paul Charles right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At 2 Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you. We continue now with our monthly CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show. Our conversation with Paul Charles. Paul, President, CEO, co-founder of American Battery Factory, which is expected to invest $1.2 billion over 10 years at their new campus out by TIA, employ 300 full-time workers, and an average annual salary of $65,000 within 2 years of the project start. All right, Paul, what about environmental concerns?
Great question on that. And we take this very, very seriously. The stewardship is towards the workforce, but also the environment on that. As a former Boy Scout leader and Boy Scout, those are things that are, frankly, just ingrained in me. And what we did is we really took a look at every step of the manufacturing process and asked ourselves, is this the right way? Is this the best way in order to handle things? And so we believe that our factory will be the most robotic and most automated cell factory in the world. And part of that is, as I said, being a good steward of the resources that are necessary in order to run this factory. Let's talk about water. We have a very, very low amount of water that we actually will be using. We're going to start with about 2 swimming pools a day, and at complete build-out, we'll only be using about 8 swimming pools a day. That is a fraction of what typically can be used in some fairly large-scale manufacturing facilities with this. We wanted to make sure that we created a template and an example so we can go into areas in which water is quite precious. There's other areas across the U.S. where we've gone and toured and evaluated where they have no idea what a drought is. They've got massive amounts of water. We wanted to make sure that this example that we're setting up here in Tucson really can show the world that you can indeed conserve water. And also, furthermore, that we don't put anything back into the groundwater as well, too. The only type of sewage system release that we have is just normal things for a building, whether it's from the cafeteria, from the drinking fountain, or from the toilets, or whatever it may be with that. So it's not a situation in which we're putting anything back into the groundwater. We'll have full compliance on any of the other types of materials that we'll be using. Another thing that's quite unique is most of the cell factories in the world that make lithium batteries use some solvents that are really nasty. They cause birth defects. They've been known to cause that for many years. But That's just what everybody uses. And we're choosing not to use those types of solvents. The types of solvents we'll be using will truly just be a fraction of the toxicity level that are used in virtually every other factory out there. And that's actually part of our closed loop system as well, too, that the things that we use to make our batteries typically are fairly expensive. And so we want to make sure that we capture that, we reuse that. Any scrap or any waste that we have will be utilized on site, or it'll be sent off site for recycling purposes. And that's super, super important to us.
All right. You'll be producing lithium iron phosphate battery cells for the home. And then what about for the electric vehicles?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to expand a little more on the energy storage aspect.
Sure.
It's far more than just for the home, which is really wonderful to be able to have energy storage in your home. We have one of our co-founders who lives up here in Utah, and he has energy storage in his house, and he runs his entire house for 3 days at a time. And then he has a choice about how he wants to recharge those batteries for a three-hour period. He can charge it off the grid. He can use solar panels, or he has a generator that he can use either propane or natural gas. And he simply chooses one of those with his app, and then it recharges his batteries, and he's good for another 3 days or so. That gives him true independence, and whether or not a grid goes down or not, it really does not affect him. And so at the residential level, we really think this is a wonderful thing. The next level up is at the commercial level, and for businesses to be able to have full access to power when they want to have it. One unique aspect or application of these batteries is something called energy shaving. Sometimes businesses, if they have equipment that they have to turn on in the morning, it may spike up in terms of the initial amount of power that's required. Some utilities actually charge additional fees on top of that. And if you have a battery shaving system that's set up with batteries, it realizes when the power draw is going up and it shaves off that peak and pulls that power directly from the batteries. A system like that is totally just recharged from the grid. You charge it when energy is cheap and you use it when it's expensive. The next level up is at the grid level, and these are typically 20 and 40 foot shipping containers that are sold to utilities. So at all three levels, there's an opportunity and actually a need for energy storage. And the energy storage is not the cure-all for everything on this, but it certainly allows the grid to be optimized and enabled, because our belief here is that the electrification of the world is happening, and that includes electric vehicles. But you can't have a grid that can support all those. Recently, I was out in California about a month or so ago, and had an opportunity to talk with the president of the California Energy Commission. And it was interesting because a few weeks prior to that, California had issued a decision that by 2035 that they would only offer up electric vehicles for sale in the state. And a few weeks later, the lady I had a chance to speak with, who's in charge of all the power throughout the state, had to send out a text and literally state, listen, please don't recharge your EVs because essentially it could bring the grid down. Mm-hmm. So we've got a long ways to go in order to have this utopian dream of having one or two EVs in all of our driveways.
All right, Paul, I'm just about there. Out of time. I'll give you 30 more seconds and I've got to say goodbye.
No problem. Well, I certainly appreciate the time to chat here. We'll be starting with employing 300 people, going up to 1,000 people over the next 5 years. Please come to our website, AmericanBatteryFactory.com, and we certainly look forward to coming to Tucson.
Paul Charles, thank you very much, Paul. We'll talk again. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. For more information, visit SunCorridorInc.com, and that wraps up our monthly CEO interview series with Paul Charles, talking about the green light for a $1.2 billion battery cell factory right here in Tucson. All right. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.